Mr. Nicolas Mainville.
I can offer you my spot if you want. You sure? Bonjour tout le monde.
Good afternoon, Nicolas Mainville. I'm a spokesperson for Greenpeace in Quebec. I'm a biologist.
I first want to thank you for your presentation, and I think the very hard work you've been doing on this project. It's pretty impressive. There's a lot of information there, so I think it really serves for everybody to know what this project is about. So thank you for that. I have three questions, and after the dinner, I'll have also a presentation. So I'll try to keep it short for now, but as you know, Greenpeace has been working on this file for quite a while, and I'm very passionate about it, so I'm very happy to be here and have the opportunity to hear answers and get more information about this. My first question relates to the proposal itself. As you know, the Cree First Nation of Osuanipi has made a proposal to the Quebec government back in 2011 to have an area called the Mishigamish Protected Area Proposal to be protected for future generation. 62 of their trap lines, 59 of their 62 trap lines have been impacted by forestry, as you know. There's three trap lines that are still intact, that are still left intact, and there was a desire, I think, that was clear by the community that those get full protection. Following this proposal, other communities also made very clear proposal to the government to have more protection in the area. Nemiska community, and of course, Ujibugumu also had their proposal for the Seneca Park. These proposals have been recognized by the Cree Grand Council into one bigger proposal called the Broadbag Watershed Conservation Plan, with a core protected area of more than 13,000 square kilometers. My question is very simple. Why would, despite all those very formal proposals recognized by the government, and I think clearly recognized by the public, there's been a lot of media attention around this, why would you propose a road that goes straight into the proposed protected area?
Sur la diapo qu'on voit affichée en...
Yes, here you see in green the what was asked by Waswanipi insofar as protected area is concerned, and we have also the caribou localization. And since we really reduced the length of the road, this was a compromise on our part, and we considered that it was honorable to make the follow-up proposal because in these sectors you have very few caribou, and the Waswanipi proposal was covered, a very high percentage was covered, so we thought that was an acceptable compromise that we were proposing. But I would like to ask a supplementary question, and this compromise of having over the years 59 of the 62 trap lines that were already impacted, is that not a compromise that was already accepted by the community? And increasing that is a bit biased. It is really not a compromise on your part. Do you understand what I mean? Yes, I understand your question very well. Even if we were protecting all that was asked by Waswanipi, the trap lines affected by our proposal will still be affected. Even if we were accepting, if we were protecting 100% of the Waswanipi proposal, the trap lines would not be entirely intact. So there will still be 59 trap lines affected, maybe in a greater part. Should a compromise be made between what we're proposing here and something else? Yes, maybe, probably. Second question.
I'd like to refer to table 2.2 in the report, the answers that you've given. You mentioned that...
Je ne suis pas le 2.2 de quoi?
Des réponses comme...
2.2 answers... To the COMEX questions?
Yeah, the COMEX, yeah. So the very thick answers. So there's percentages of wood volumes that have been allocated to different companies. We know we are in a new forestry regime. We used to refer to the Forest Management Unit 8665. This is not the case anymore. We're now in a broader area where volumes are allocated. And there are percentages for each companies that are proposing this project here to receive more or less 100,000 or more than 100,000 cubic meters of wood. So Matériaux Blanchet, Série Landrienne, Ecom Timber Corporation, Produits Forestiers Résolus, and Tembec. And there's percentages to there. However, in your first answer, you refer to an area that covers about 113,000 hectares of forest that would be harvested. You know, these roads would open an area of 113,000 hectares of forest for harvest. Can you tell us exactly which company will get the volumes from those 113,000 hectares of forest harvested? So not the general wood volumes that are distributed for the whole region, but specific to the area that would be covered by those two roads. Which company, how much volume, what's the percentage?
Each year, after receiving the ministries of forest planning, so these beneficiaries sit at the table and decide of the distribution of the different volumes, wood volumes. So I cannot tell you, as of today, who is going to get what in that sector, the sector we're discussing this afternoon. But most companies that you see there will get a part of the percentage of the volume. But you have different plans proposed in the document? No. Each year, each and every year, we decide of the different volumes. For example, for 2015, 2016, there were no authorizations. For example, in 2016-17, next year, that is to say, if there were blocks to be distributed among the different companies, then we would know only at that time.
Is to each of you as logging companies operating in the area, NRDC from the United States, Greenpeace, and Canopy, asked you if you would commit to respect the proposed protected area from Waswanipi. We've received one answer so far from Tembec, indicating that no harvest would happen from their part in the protected area. Is there any other company that would publicly say today that they will respect the proposed protected area from Waswanipi?
Nous, notre position, je parlerai pas pour les autres.
I will not talk on behalf of the other companies, but insofar as Matériaux Blanchette is concerned, we think that there will be a compromise that will be reached between Waswanipi community and the different companies. And when this compromise has been reached between the two parties, then we'll be able to guarantee that this compromise will be applied. And the people from Résolu or Cyril Andrien, are they able to say that they will not harvest? Well, insofar as Résolu, we'll go only where we are authorized by the government to do logging. So there's no commitment on your part to respect the protected area proposed by Waswanipi. Well, we'll go where we're authorized to go, and only there. In our case, of course, we'll go only where we're authorized, but if this projected, when this protected area is identified, of course, we'll respect it. But that is very far. I mean, years will pass before we reach that protected area, so we'll know exactly what will be the case when we reach that area. Yes, last question, insofar as the caribou is concerned.
You've changed the area of your study depending on referring to logging or referring to caribou habitat. You explained that this project would allow you to harvest 113,000 hectares of forest. And then when you look into the impacts of the project itself, you look at it for a way bigger area, which reduces a lot the percentage of disturbances. So I think it would be interesting for people to know what is the percentage of disturbance in the area that you're actually looking to harvest. What is the percentage of caribou habitat that will actually be impacted in the area of this project, not including the areas already protected up north, not including very big lake like Lake Evans, not including areas that are, we know, out of reach from the logging industry, but the actual area that you plan to harvest, what will be the disturbance level after you've harvested those 113,000 hectares of forest? And what will be the state of woodland caribou once this happens?
Well, I can't answer your question. When you say that, what is the percentage of disturbance in the projected road sector, I don't know, because that's not what we calculated. The study area we considered was validated by two different experts at MFFP. So we know that this study area is about 10,000 square kilometers, and it's been validated by two different experts. So from there, I believe our approach was okay.
So, and okay, interesting. Yeah, I know that Monsieur Brodeur and forget the other person's name, did that study for the greater area for woodland caribou within this whole, actually, this is the map that we're referring to. But what I'm asking is, and I think it would be interesting for everybody here to know, when we're looking at the actual project, not the greater area, what is the percentage that will be disturbed? Because we talk about two roads, but then we explain, we use as arguments that these are not two roads. These are actually more than 100,000 hectares of forest that would be harvested eventually. And we use the roads as a segue to harvest and the harvest as a segue to jobs as an argument for economical reason. But why don't we do the same for the roads and the harvest as a segue to impacts on the woodland caribou that is there in this area rather than this whole bigger area?
B- because caribou habitat is not limited to the projected road sector. Caribou habitat is vast. That's why.
So I would say forestry is not limited to this tiny area. There's all the south that is also forestry. You know, there's 90% of the province of Quebec that has been impacted by forestry. So why focus on the last 10%?
Wow. That's the thing. They have been logging elsewhere around for so long. Now, they foresee wood supply shortage by the end of the current management plan. So that's part of the reason why this road is contemplated. They've been logging around for so long. Where will the sawmills go log in the future? So that's why there's a compromise to be made here. Like Rock said, I guess that's a solution.
All right, thank you.
Merci, Monsieur Mainville.